things need to get better. This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, November 9th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you so much for making this show your first listen each day. The Jets are 2-6. On today's show, we're going to talk about things that need to improve between now and the end of the season, ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I hope you had a good Monday. There were a couple of Jets-related news points. The Jets made a change at punter. They released Thomas Morstead, who's been doing a really solid job for them. He was signed prior to the Week 2 game against New England after Braden Mann suffered a knee injury in Week 1 against Carolina. Of course, if you may remember in that game, Matt Amendola, the kicker, replaced Mann, did an amazing job himself. Morstead was in the top 10 in the NFL in net punting average. I think it's pretty obvious Braden Mann is on his way back and is probably going to be active this weekend. Otherwise, they would not have cut Morstead. But Jets owe Morstead a debt of gratitude for his work here. And now they will hope Braden Mann, who frankly was a disappointment as a rookie, develops in year two. And he was having a pretty good preseason. He was a punter to the extent a punter can have big upside. He was a punter who had pretty big upside. Sounds like he's coming back. In addition to that, Robert Saleh was non-committal about the quarterback position. He did mention Zach Wilson is their starting quarterback, but they're not in any rush to get him back. They don't want to put Zach out there when he's less than 100%. I don't know what else you would expect Robert Saleh to say. That's the only thing he could say. If he says anything else, he's going to generate major headlines. And as I discussed yesterday, if you listen to the show, there's no reason to generate major headlines yet. The Jets have not changed their plans at quarterback. Zach Wilson remains the quarterback of the future. That will not change no matter who starts Sunday against Buffalo. I think that for many reasons, not the least of which, you don't want to put Wilson out there when he's less than 100%. Mike White should probably be the starting quarterback against Buffalo, and then it's a good test for White to show us how enduring this early success might be, because Buffalo's got a really good defense. Now, Mike White's been playing well, but there are lots of Jets who have been struggling recently. The team, of course, is 2-6. They did have that great win against Cincinnati a couple weekends ago, but they've been playing a lot of non-competitive football. Two of the three games out of the bye have been really, really ugly performances, both on the road. And on today's show, I want to talk about three particular groups of Jets players who I think need to play a lot better in the weeks to come. And the first group I'm going to begin talking about is the defensive line. And this is supposed to be the strength of this defense. In fact, if you watch the game on Thursday, the announcers were telling you that when they met with Robert Saleh, he said that this is the best defensive line he's ever worked with, which was quite a statement given how poorly they played in the game against the Colts. They allowed the Colts to have the biggest rushing game in the NFL this season for a team. So not very good. I think back a few weeks to the Titans game when the defensive line dominated and we thought, wow, this is an incredible unit, because there is talent on this unit. Now, they're without Carl Lawson, and they're also without Vinnie Curry. And these are two pretty big losses, I think. But they cannot explain away how poor this unit has been, not only against Indianapolis, but also New England, and there have been some other games where the line has really struggled. You look at the way the resources are deployed on this defense, the Jets have spent a lot in terms of draft capital, in terms of cap space, on this defensive line. And the way this defense is constructed, it's all about the line. Now, we know the issues the Jets have in the secondary. They're going very young at corner, and you may be impressed by the way the corners are playing. And to be honest with you, I am too. I thought they'd be a much bigger liability than they have been thus far this season. But they're getting a lot of help. If you look at the way this scheme operates, the Jets are dropping lots of players into coverage. They're trying to constrict those passing lanes down the field. You're not getting a lot of situations where these corners are being asked to cover one-on-one. And by the way, if you wonder why the Jets are having such an issue with running backs who are kind of coming out of the backfield late in plays and the quarterbacks are hitting checkdowns and these guys have plenty of daylight in front of them, that's one of the reasons, because the Jets defenders on the second level are dropping so deep to try and constrict these passing lanes to help the corners, that pretty much the underneath part of the field is wide open. So when you're playing like this, the defensive line really needs to get home, because you're asking to generate a pass rush with just four guys. Now, this changes on third down. On third down, the Jets have been blitzing, but on earlier downs, they're pretty much relying entirely on this pass rush. And the other issue with this is, if you're not asking your corners to cover a big part of the field, that means your linebackers and your safeties have to cover a lot of ground in the middle of the field. And if you're asking them to do that, that means you need faster guys. And I know a lot has been made about the Jets drafting safeties, converting them to linebackers. Now, to be fair, neither Jamie and Sherwood nor Hamza Nasruldeen has gotten extensive playing time this season. So I see some people complaining about this. They're blaming this for the Jets' issues on defense. Well, it's not really fair. Neither of those guys has really played all that much. The one exception is Sherwood against New England. That's the one game where you could say it actually made a difference. But that kind of shows you where the Jets' mindset is on defense. And if you go back to the offseason, they even tried to sign a safety, Keanu Neal, and move him to linebacker. The point here is that the Jets wanted to get faster at the linebacker position. A lot was made about C.J. Mosley dropping weight in the offseason so that he could play faster. And this is all part of the plan on defense. If you're going to restrict the area your corners have to cover, they're not being asked to cover the entire field. If you're asking them to cover a small area of the field, that means a lot more of the field's open than it would be in your typical defense. Somebody else has to cover for it. So that means your linebackers have to cover a lot of ground. They have to be fast. Well, if you're having fast linebackers, odds are they aren't very big. And that means that your defensive line needs to do the job keeping them clean. Your defensive line needs to eat up blocks. And essentially the way I view the Jets' defense right now is the defensive lineman's job is to kind of control the gaps. And if they are single-teamed, a defensive lineman for the Jets, their job is to shed the block and make the tackle if a running back comes near them with the ball. And if they are double-teamed, then there should be a linebacker who is unblocked who can go make the tackle. That's kind of the way I view this defense right now. Jets are not doing the job. They did not do the job against New England. And as much as we all complained about Sherwood, and I think it was fair, the defensive line got dominated in that game. And once again, the defensive line got dominated against Indianapolis. Now, when you're talking about the pass rush, this is where they miss Carl Lawson, and to a lesser extent, Vinnie Curry, although I do think they miss Vinnie Curry. Because, as I mentioned, if your job is to keep the linebackers clean, that means you cannot necessarily fire up the field at the snap of the ball. It means you need to control the point of attack. So in this Jets defense, I mean, really on a given play, you may have one guy whose job is to get up the field, and that guy was supposed to be Carl Lawson. And that helps to explain why the Jets valued him so much. It explains why he got so much money, and it explains why the Jets missed him so much. And they've gotten some decent edge play from guys like Bryce Huff. They've gotten Shaq Lawson's had a few moments, although it's been more against the run, but they're really missing Carl Lawson, because aside from that player, on this defensive line, I think the job for the most part is, first of all, to control the point of attack, to eat up blockers, to prevent the linebackers from getting wiped out, because you don't have linebackers who can really shed blocks. And the reason you don't have linebackers who can shed blocks is that you need them fast, because you need them to cover more ground. And the reason for that is that you don't have corners who can cover a ton of space. So you can see, I think you can see the way this defense fits together. But it's not been fitting because the defensive line, which is everything's supposed to be built around, is not doing the job. And part of that's missing Carl Lawson, because you really, I think, on any given play have one guy whose job is really to get up the field and make a play. But beyond that, the guys whose job it is to keep the linebackers and safeties clean aren't doing it very well. They're getting pushed back. Other teams' offensive lines are getting too much of a push. So these guys just have to start playing better. Now, ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast, we are going to talk about a draft class that is not performing up to expectations so far. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about an incredible app everybody who buys gas needs to know about, and that's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now, and use promo code TOUCHDOWN. You'll get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back. And there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN. Thanks again for making Locked On Jets your first listen each day. Today we are talking about groups that need to perform better. In the first segment, we talked about the defensive line. I'm now going to move on to the 2020 draft class. I say it practically every year. Year two for a draft class is really important. You've got a season of experience under your belt. You've had a full offseason to digest the playbook. You now know what it takes to succeed in the NFL. And it feels like year after year, I'm saying Jets really are not getting enough from their second-year draft class. It's amazing, actually, how little the Jets have gotten from this class so far. I mean, let's go through the players they drafted last year. You had Mekhi Becton in the first round, Denzel Mims in the second round, Ashton Davis, round three, Jabari Zuniga, round three, LaMichael P. Ryan, round four, James Morgan, round four, Cameron Clark, round five, Bryce Hall, round five, Braden Mann, round six. So let's count this. Becton, one, Mims, two, Davis, three, Zuniga, four, P. Ryan, five, Morgan, six, Clark, seven. So your first seven picks last year have given you practically nothing. In fact, the only player the Jets drafted in 2020 who's producing so far is Bryce Hall, which is a nice little bonus because you don't expect that out of a fifth-round pick, but you're not going to have much success with your draft class unless these guys are producing. A few weeks back, I talked about maybe things looking a little bit more optimistic because you had Bryce Huff producing as a non-drafted free agent. You had Javelin Guidry, who was playing pretty well. And Guidry still is playing pretty well, I think. And Bryce Huff has had his moments. But a critical part of that is, and when we're talking about getting success out of this draft class, is early round guys producing. And it just has not been happening. Now, part of it's been due to injury. Listen, Mann's missed the entire season, although we're talking the punter here. So the punter doesn't really matter that much when we evaluate how good a draft class is. Becton, it's not his fault. You know, injuries are not a player's fault, but it's been disappointing that he hasn't been able to get on the field. It sounds like he's still a few weeks away. More than Becton, though, or Mann, Denzel Mims, you know, for all of the frustration, for all of the criticism the coaching staff got for not playing Mims much early, what's he really done? The last 2 weeks, he's gotten plenty of playing time. Has about three drops. You know, he has justified the coaching staff's lack of faith if we're looking at what he's done on the field when he's been out there. Jets need to get more out of him. Davis has been awful. I mean, I don't know that there's any way you can dispute that Ashton Davis looks like he does not belong out there. How many times he's taking bad angles. There was one play against the Colts where Troy Aikman essentially excused him for giving up a 30-yard completion because the receiver faked right and then went left. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, Troy, it can't be an automatic 30-yard completion if the receiver fakes one way and then goes another. Ashton Davis has to be able to read these plays better. And one of the long touchdowns the Colts had on the ground, Davis just took an unbelievably bad angle. Davis was not a pick that I loved at the time, I have to be honest with you. I remember watching him, and you know, the funny thing was, at that point, the Jets had Jamal Adams and they had Marcus May, so a lot of us were not expecting them to go safety at any point early in the draft, so I kind of had to rally because I had not done a ton of research on Davis. But when I first watched him, I was kind of alarmed, and the name that came to mind for me, and even though they're maybe not exactly the same player, is Calvin Pryor, because I remember Calvin Pryor looking like he had no idea what he was doing in coverage and always going for the big hit at the expense of making the sure tackle or taking bad angles to the football. And I'm not saying that Ashton Davis is exactly like Calvin Pryor. There are some differences in their games. There are some differences between them as players. But those were three things that really stood out to me. And so far, you have to say, looks kind of like that. Zuniga's on the practice squad. Now, he actually had a sack against Cincinnati, but he kind of came back to earth against the Colts. He was kind of wiped out on some big plays. So you're just not... Now, Cameron Clark's hurt, so you can't really get upset about that. P. Ryan, not a pick that I loved. I don't really have high hopes for him. And Morgan's gone. So, I mean, right now it's Bryce Hall and then maybe a little contribution from undrafted free agents. So who are the guys who need to step up? Well, hopefully Becton will when he returns. You can't get on Becton. I mean, you can't blame a guy for being injured. That's not fair. It is disappointing, though, that they're not getting more from him. But the two guys who I think really need to step up are the second and third pick. That's Denzel Mims and that's Ashton Davis. Because right now I think you have to be concerned about both of them. And by the way, the second and third pick of your draft frequently are the most important players. You know, the first round is full of quality prospects. And these are guys who are going to make decent money. So your first round pick is important, but your second and third round picks, I mean, that's really where the meat of your team can be built. Because that's the spot where there aren't as many good prospects around. But there still are quality players who can help you build your team. There still are players who can be the core of your roster. You just have to know where to find them. And they don't make much money. So if you hit on one of those, it is worth so much to your football team. And the Jets, you know, you want to look at some of the reasons the Jets have been so bad. Look at rounds 2 and 3 over the last decade. Or, you know, you could probably go longer than that. How little the Jets have gotten from players in these rounds. And I think around the halfway point of the season, you cannot be happy with what you're getting from these players. Now, you know, the later round picks, Bryce Hall actually does look pretty good. Now, is Bryce Hall a number one corner? That remains to be seen. And I think if you have hopes of Bryce Hall being a number one corner, that took a little bit of a hit against the Colts because he did not play very well. But Bryce Hall is a fifth round pick. If he develops into a starter, that's a tremendous pick. Unfortunately, you're not seeing tremendous picks in the earlier rounds. And unfortunately, the 2020 draft class is not the only part of the Jets team that's struggled so far. We've talked about the defensive line. We've now talked about this second-year group. When we continue here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we're going to talk about some of the issues the Jets have running the football. You know, all of this talk about things that are going wrong for the Jets might make you want to take a vacation. And amazingly enough, you may not realize this if you live in the Northeast because it's November, but there are places you can go to the beach still. I remember I was out in California around Labor Day, and one of the most amazing things to me is that it was just another three-day weekend. You know, up in the Northeast, Labor Day is like the end of the beach season, but the beaches are open in many places all year round. And with beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or you may be bound for encountering the unexpected. We all have our own beach rituals. I love just sitting on the beach relaxing, maybe with a newspaper. Maybe you prefer having a drink in hand, enjoying the view. Some of us like being out there all day. Others of us maybe just want to be out there for an hour or so. But with beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, talking about groups that need to begin performing better for the New York Jets in the final half of the season. We talked about the defensive line. We talked about the 2020 draft class. Now I'm going to finish the show by talking about the run blockers. Let me give you some stats. Michael Carter is averaging 3.8 yards per rushing attempt. That's not very good. But let me give you some context to that. Our buddies over at JetsXFactor.com took a look at some of the more advanced numbers, and they found that Carter has the second most missed tackles forced per touch on offense this year among running backs. So he's forcing missed tackles at a higher rate than almost every other running back in the league. And let me give you another stat. Pro Football Focus wrote an article a few days back. Michael Carter's in the top 10 in average yards after contact. So what's that tell you? His rushing average is not very good, but he's forcing a lot of missed tackles and getting a lot of yards after contact. Well, that tells you the run blocking has been awful for the Jets. And I don't think that's any secret. And I think we know where the source of a lot of these struggles are. It's at right guard with Greg Van Roten. And also a little bit at left tackle because George Fant is not much of a run blocker, although Fant has been playing very well as a pass protector, which on your quarterback's blind side is probably more important. But I think right guard's really where you look to for the issue. And I think the trade for Duvernay-Tardif, they're trying to address that. Now, how much will it help? I mean, this is a guy who really hasn't played in 2 years, but they only gave up Daniel Brown. In fact, I wanted to make a joke yesterday about the Chiefs beating the Packers, how it must have been the Daniel Brown effect. It's a joke, though. I mean, Daniel Brown, who does perform on special teams, was not a big loss. I mean, for what the Jets gave up for Duvernay-Tardif to take a flyer on him, it's fine. And I think one of the important things about the offensive line, though, is you're only as strong as your weakest link. And when you have a guy out there who's really struggling, it kind of has a ripple effect. It forces the guys who are next to him to pick up more of the slack, and it makes them struggle a little bit because, you know, maybe a Connor McGovern has to help him out instead of going and blocking somebody else. It's difficult to explain, but when you have a weak link on the offensive line, it can really have an outsized effect on the performance of everybody in that unit. So the hope is that Duvernay-Tardif goes in and not only improves right guard, but also makes the overall line better. Maybe it makes Connor McGovern better. Maybe it makes Morgan Moses better. Beyond that, look, the Jets tight ends are not doing a great job either. And I don't know that there's a lot of hope for that. I think that maybe the best route with the tight ends is just put them on the field less, maybe have more spread formations. And that's something the Jets have done more with Mike White, who's got more of a quick release. It's difficult to spread the field when you have a quarterback who likes to go down the field with the ball because deep routes take longer to develop. And that means sometimes you need to leave an extra blocker in to help pick up blitzes. And the Jets, with a young running back room, makes it tough for running backs to fill that role capably. So maybe you need to have a few more tight ends in there at times. With White, who's got a quick release, who likes to get the ball out quicker, it's a little bit easier to spread the field. And I can tell you, against the Bengals at least, the run-pass option game seemed to be on the table a little bit more. And again, that's a product of having a quarterback who likes to get the ball out quicker. That said, we know that tight ends are not the strength of this roster, and we know that perhaps the Jets, even when Zach returns, should be looking to spread the field a little bit more. Even if it's not going to be full-time, they should be looking to get more receivers on the field more than they had in previous weeks with Zach. And, you know, you just hope that things get better there. And there's the clear fix at right guard that the Jets acquired last week. We'll see how much it helps things. I mean, I think that that's the clear attempt, though. That's the area where things could get better. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. Send in your mailbag questions. Tomorrow, we will have our weekly mailbag show.